الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل بفضل الله ورحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون صدق الله العظيم. My respected ulama-i kiram, brothers and elders in Islam, first and foremost, I would like to supplicate and make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He may give me ikhlas in these few words. May Allah Ta'ala make it beneficial for all of us. Today, alhamdulillah, it's a very joyous occasion that we don't have the actual words to describe the joy and the feeling that we have come here to Botswana with only one niyat, and that is the nisbat of Quran and Deen. The ayat that I have recited in front of you, Allah Ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ. It is with the fadl of Allah Ta'ala and His rahmat. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. You should rejoice. The Mufassireen say there are 8 tafaseer to the ayat, but I just want to make one tafsir of the ayat, that the word fadl is referring to Islam. The word fadl in the ayat is referring to Islam. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Say with the fadl of Allah Ta'ala. Allah gave a person Islam, Allahu Akbar. Imagine, to the burger of Islam, every person, no matter how good a guy he is, he go to Jannah forever and ever. It's not a small thing. Islam and Iman is not a small thing. And the opposite flip side, Allah save us. If a person doesn't have Iman in Islam, he will go to Jahannam forever and ever. Islam is not a small thing. If Allah has given person Islam, rejoice. Qul bi fadlillah. And the tafsir says, wa bi rahmatihi. If Allah gives a person Quran, he must rejoice. Rejoice if you got Quran. Rejoice. Qul bi fadlillah wa bi rahmatihi fa bi dhalika falyafrahu. Become happy. Allah has given Islam, Allah has given Quran. We don't need anything else. Qul bi fadlillah wa bi rahmatihi fa bi dhalika falyafrahu wa khayrun mimma yajma'un. It is more better than whatever you have gathered. More better. Because what we have gathered, my dear respected brothers, that is only for as far as our eyes are open. And when our eyes are closed, then it's finished. Then what we're going to take with us in our qabr? So they said we are 2 type of business people, you know. We are business community. All of our grandfathers, ancestors, left our ancestral home, wherever we came from. Their vision was to come and get a better living in the world and a better lifestyle for their children and all that enhancement for the children. That's why they left and made so much of qurbani, our forefathers that came. People made mehnat on them. The family of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu gave them dawah. Otherwise our forefathers were Hindus. Somebody made effort on their iman. Today we blessed with iman. Then they left their country, they came out, they spread out all over the world to enhance their, he said, no, we'll get a better living. But all that, Sana, that is only confined to this dunya, mahdood to this dunya. Our Ustad al-Muhtaram, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Tangali Sahib, Damat Barakatum, Sheikh al-Hadith, he came to our madrasa last week. He said that when a person went inside the qabr, this is Darul Amal, that is Darul Jaza. Right? Person in his qabr is reading Quran. One person is outside the qabr, he's saying one subhanallah. One person is inside the qabr. He said, I've read 60,000 khatams in my qabr. But for that 60,000 khatams I read, I never get one sawab. I never get one sawab. But in the qabr already. You're in the qabr already, I won't get one sawab for 60,000 khatams. This is Darul Amal. This is the time, son, that we need to think that when my eyes close and I go from this dunya, then this tijarat needs to continue. You get 2 types of tijarat. Tijaratun tabur and tijaratun lan tabur. One tijarat will come to an end. that that will be our highest goal. Then we must worry about miras, leave our estate for our children. Will they make qadr of it? Will they use it? Will they abuse it? Will they fight? All that will take me. We worry about all that. But what we have to really worry about is our iman. Iman of our children and generations to come. This morning, I heard one clip. The Hazrat Maulana Sajjad Rahmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu, a great esteemed alim in India. Hazrat Maulana said that was one person that saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dreams. From the way I understood the clip, he was referring to himself, but he never could take his own name. So he kept it mutlaq. He said one person saw a dream in which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came in the dream, and there was a house that was broken, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Meri ummat ne mere deen ko dha diya. Meri ummat ne mere deen ko dha diya. My ummat has destroyed my religion. Rasulullah Sallam lamenting in the dream. Meri ummat ne mere deen ko dha diya. My ummat has destroyed my deen. And then after a little while, he sees another dream. And he sees Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, Mere apno ne mujhko chhor diya. Mere apno ne mujhko chhor diya. My own people have left me. My own people have left me. This is the era in which we are moving towards Qiyamah. These are all the signs of Qiyamah that we are seeing. We are living in an era where people are leaving the fold of Islam. We have irtidad-e-zehni, irtidad-e-lafzi taking place. People can't understand the laws of the Sharia. One person, his pants is below his ankle. You tell him that the fire will burn your feet if your pants is under your ankle. Instead of saying that, okay, I will lift up my pants, and so he says, no, I will keep my pants low, because when I lift my pants, I get kibar. Now look at what his brain is saying, look what the hadith is saying. Now he's not supposed to question what the hadith is saying. He's just got to do what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has outlined for him, that you must lift your pants up above your ankle. Ab woh kya bolta hai? Nahin, agar main niche karta hu, main upar karta hu, to mujhe kibar ho jata. Now exactly opposite to what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. Exactly opposite. Because at that time they should lower the pants below the ankle because of kibar. So he's saying, if I pick my pants up above the ankle, I'm going to get kibar. Dekho kaisa hai, kaisa zamana. So the ta'aleem of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that hasn't permeated into our hearts. Many, many reasons for that. The society that we are living in. We have been governed, we have been taken, our brains have been taken control by the society we are living in. So if we don't look and think for generations to come, how are we going to protect our iman and the iman of our children? Na'udhu billah. Is I know 2-3 generations down the line, our children are no more Muslims. It's happening in the European countries, even in our own country of South Africa. There's on a WhatsApp, their group, says ex-Muslims. You know how many people are on that group? More than 3,000. Murtad. Out of the fold of Islam. And they even teach the people, you are living inside a Muslim home, but you're not a Muslim, how you must make taqiyah. So that you act like you're fasting, but you're not fasting. You act like you're performing salah, but you're not performing salah. So this is the era that we are living in. This is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is lamenting about in the dream. My dear respected brothers, Allah Ta'ala, we are the adults, we are the ulama, we are the people should worry about send our children and for generations to come. This is an amanat entrusted to us by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I will tell you, once we give proper maktab ta'aleem to our children, we teach them proper aqidah. We will treat them proper aqidah. What they must believe in. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri wal qadri khairihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. Bunyadi aqidah from maktab level. Inshallah, when people will attack their iman, Allah will save the iman. The barakat of the ta'aleem. The barakat of the ta'aleem. Ta'aleem is not a small thing. Now we have different levels of ta'aleem. Ta'aleem is not only one level, you go maktab and it's finished. Or we go half his class, mashallah, a lot of good work is taking place in half his class. But ta'lim is not mahdud to that, that's only the first step. That whole dawlat and khazana of ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those kutub khanas that are all full with kitabs written by generations of ulama above us. Isan no examana ajal, that is all like that ornaments on the wall. No person has the ability to even pick up a kitab and study and read one ibarat that's written inside. Isan no. We must teach our children, they can walk in, they can pick up any hadith kitab, they can open it, mashallah, they can read the hadith, they can translate the hadith, they can explain the hadith. They can pick up a tafsir kitab, they can do the same. Take up a masail kitab, they can do the same. They have the ability. Then we have fulfilled our responsibility of the transfer of knowledge from one generation to the next generation. And then those people will go into their areas. They will uplift the deen wherever they are. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Bu'ithu mu'alliman." I have been sent as an educator. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educated the Sahaba. That's one of his mandates. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. That was the first mandate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. Recite the Quran to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Quran. Then Sahaba used to memorize the Quran. Not only that, he even taught them to. The first madrasa was Ashabi Sufa. In the back of Masjid al-Nabawi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll find one platform in the back. That was the first madrasa. It wasn't in the form like how we have it today. Just a small platform, Sahaba used to stay there. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to stay there. There was, people used to come, there was no food and that served to them. The people of Medina used to come, they should just hang some branches of khajur or whatever, and they used to eat it. There were times when the students were there, the Sahaba were in faqa. They had no food. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who's one of the greatest narrators of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to fall down unconscious, out of hunger. Out of hunger. And he says, all the other Sahaba, people question him, why you narrate so much hadith compared to others? He says, no, they went to the Aswaq also, they were also traders. They never spent the amount of time that I spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to fall down unconscious. People thought he was getting epileptic fits. They should put their leg on top of his head. Thought he was junoon tarih. In the meantime, there was no junoon. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. This was through hunger. But it was the thirst of that knowledge. That's why they stayed in the sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He learned the ahadith. Those sahaba ikram then transmitted the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for the chain of narrators, right up from our asatiza, we can tell you, we can connect you up via our chain of narrators, right up to our teachers and the mashayikh of India and Pakistan. And from there, Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Delhi. And from there, right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an honor, my dear respected brothers. What an honor for an alim to be connected via his sanad of hadith direct to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we are honored. If the president comes, we feel very honored. President has come, we feel very honored. We say, because this man is highly connected. He has a lot of connections. The ministers of parliament, he has connections with them. We say he's highly connected. We give him a lot of respect. Imagine the i'zaz of the ulama on the day of Qiyamah who are directly connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the sanad of hadith. So therefore, this is an amanat that has been entrusted. And based on the ahwal that we are going through now, that is the nuzul towards Qiyamah, and we can see what is happening in the world today. We can see such things that our brains never imagined could have happened. That is what is happening today. Allah. In that era, how do we protect the iman of our children? How do we? Are we going to throw them to the wolves? Or are we going to pull them in and tell them secure their environment? And put Quran and Hadith in their heart. Transmit it to them. Let the anwar of the Quran and Hadith permeate inside. Radiate their minds and create radiance. So tomorrow these will become those people that will be the flag bearers of Islam. That will carry the mantle of Nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That will challenge, that will wave off any challenge from any quarters against Islam. It will be the same youngsters today that we see them today. They are small, they don't seem to know much. But alhamdulillah, over time, over years, over 5 years, 7 years, you'll see the growth, it will blow your mind away. You'll see where they will reach. Allahu Akbar. Let us bring that thought in our mind
of the Sahaba, the sacrifices they made for the deen to reach us. And then that deen was transmitted to us by many great ulama-i-kiram. Now it's our incumbent duty that we be able to transmit it to the next generation. So alhamdulillah, in Botswana, Allah Ta'ala has now commenced. This Darnoom is a beautiful product. There's nothing more beautiful than this year. Every day, the malaika will be coming down. Wherever Quran is taking place. I've heard that ta'lim takes place from morning till night. Quran and hadith is being taught from morning till night. Now, how fortunate are the people of Botswana? The Quran and hadith is being taught from the soil of Botswana. Tells you that this amanat now, alhamdulillah, is being galvanized and secured within the four corners of Botswana. We must be grateful to Allah Ta'ala for that. Be thankful to Allah Ta'ala for that. Be thankful and grateful to Allah Ta'ala for that. My dear respected brothers, this one child that has come here, they are the mihman of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala chooses whoever He wishes for His deen. To become hafiz, to become alim, to become mufti, to become da'i. That we don't choose our own selves. Allah chooses that. Allah chooses that. And our parents have sent us to go. They were smart people. Because they knew when we go in our qabr, how are we going to get sawab in our qabr? Make my son an alim. Make my son a hafiz. Hazrat Hakim al-Insa Islam Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his father told him that, see, I made you alim maybe for yourself, but hafiz I made you for myself. Every day Hazrat Hakim al-Islam Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to read 3 paras Quran for the Isari sawab of his father. I had one ustad, Hazrat Qari Anis Rahmatullah Ali. Every day the asatiza would go after Asar to Maghrib for tafri' outside in the gardens. But Hazrat Qari Anis says, I can't come with you. He says, my father sent me to become an alim. Said, we were so poor. Said, I couldn't afford, my father couldn't afford. Today my father is gone. He is dependent on me. I have to read for my father every day between Asar and Maghrib. I read for my father every day between Asr. You get children like that, my dear friend. Then those same children, they'll run your businesses also. They'll have deen. Allah will make the dunya flourish for you. Lot of times we feel, agar Quran parhayenge to hamari dunya ka kya hoga? That is the worst waswasa shaitan can put into the mind. I have never come across that person that sacrifices life for Quran, hadith, and the sharia of Rasulullah, and Allah deprived him. I've never come across that. And my life, I've never come across it. I'm in the field for about 50 years now, from a young boy. I've never seen an alim who gave it all for Allah, and Allah ne usko mahroom kiya, maine kabhi nahi dekha. But what I have found, that those businesses of their parents that were not flourishing, after they became ulama, it started flourishing. That was what I found. So whether you are professional or what, your risk is not mahmood on professionalism. Allah will give you to avenues we don't even think about. So don't let ever that waswasa come in our hearts. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Makkah and Mukarramah, and then when that water came out, what is there in Makkah? What is the way on the way? There's only mountains and rocks and stones and nothing else. When people go there, why do they go there? They're only going for ibadah. There was nothing in those days. Okay, nowadays, malls and whatever. In those days, what came out? There's nothing. Allah wanted to send a signal that this deen, money is not the point here. Money can never be the point. You come in here solely for the ibadah of Allah. So those people who Allah chooses, because He has said, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, we're going to protect it. Imagine our parents sent us there. And now their names have been recorded. Allah used them for the protection of the deen. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, in that fihrist, in that list, all our parents' names are going to be there. They send their children. And their children's names are going to be there. The parents' names will be there. What fakhr and izzat on the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected brothers, the Quran Sharif is a great daulat. So, there's so much to say about the Quran. I haven't even started my bayan actually. And so, this was only a tamheed to it. Inshallah, maghrib ki namaz hogi. And after maghrib, inshallah, we will continue the program and I will add some important points as regard to the Quran Sharif as well as regard to Ramadan Sharif after the maghrib salah, inshallah. Jazakallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Thank Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, you can see beautiful recitations already coming out. This is 10 months from now. Mehnat of 10 months from now. What a beautiful nazam was.
What a beautiful recitation of Quranic Path. Only 10 months. Done 10, 20, 50 years. Allah. Sa'yu minna wa itmamu min Allah. Make effort, leave the completion to Allah. Put the seed in the ground, then it flourish. InshaAllah. Allah Ta'ala accept all the effort and mehnat of our asatizah kiram. Regarding the Quranic Kareem, just a few advices. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The Quran is Kareem, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That means there's no doubt in it. The minute we open the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The minute, no person can make a da'wah that there's no rape, only Allah can make a da'wah. Any person can open any page of the Quran, never find a contradiction, never find a flaw. It's a flawless kitab. Flawless. Quran Kareem is flawless. There's not even one grain of any. And you know what's the irony of the whole thing? With so much of Islamophobia around in the whole world, Islamophobia, our whole media, the whole Jewish media, every media is controlled by the Jews. Whether it is British BBC, British Bakwas Company, whether it's CNN, Chicken Noodle News, Sanaji, all those are all controlled by the Zionists, controlled by them. Even if one of the reporters has to say something against them, he gets fired. They control everything. With all the Islamophobia against the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Now, you must remember in Europe there are so many people. So when they hear all that, they say, you know, the people have so much bad things to say about Islam. Let me see what it's all about. So the first thing they do is, with a lot of antagonism, they still pick up the Quran to see what is inside. And the minute they open the Kalam of Allah, that kashish, Allah just draws them in. And you can see how many people, when they give their reason why they accepted Islam, they'll say, there was something in that book that I read. That appeal that's in the Quran, you will not find it anywhere else. That was because Allah Ta'ala chose the qalb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all the farishtas, Hazrat Jibreel Ameen, to bring the kalam of Allah direct to the Mubarak qalb of Rasulullah. And then from that qalb, it is transmitted to all the different youngsters. Imagine one ma'asoom child, the 7 years old, 9 years old, he has memorized the Quran. Now tell me, who can snatch it from that qalb? Who can snatch it from the depth of his heart? Nobody can snatch it. Allah has made hifazat of the Quran Kareem by using small children. Millions of children all over. That's the, and that is actually the magnificence and the miracle of the Quran. And the mu'jiza of the kalam of Rasulullah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, normally what happens, a person, when you read a book, you fall in love with the author. Any book you pick up, after you start reading the book, you fall in love with the author. The Quran is that wahid kitab, that the author falls in love with the reader. That the author who wrote that book, who has sent it down, normally when we read, say, mashallah, what a beautiful, sir, what a beautiful print, what a beautiful statement, what a beautiful message. Sir, the reader falls in love with the author, but the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he falls in love with the reader. Because Allah, this is his kalam. That person who reads Quran, Al-Mahir, he's ma'as-safarat al-kiram al-barara. He'll be with the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person, yatata'ta, he can't even read properly, he's stammering. Allah will give him double reward. Double. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept that khufi. When we read the tilawat of Quran, what should our niyat be? Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Rahman Mia, rahmatullah alayh, the most, probably the greatest producer of Hufaz in South Africa from Mia's family, Mawlana spoke about. So they also have a good part of it. Most Hufaz came out and they sang. And people said their children for reformation, but they transformed them into genuine Hufaz. So my father also went there. Now whether the dal was getting stuck to the plate and they turned it around, Wallahu alim, I don't know if there's any proof to that. Only people who stayed there, they will be able to tell you. So Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia says, when you recite Quran, you must make niyat of the zikr of Allah. I'm reading it because Quran recitation is the zikr of Allah. That's also the zikr of Allah. The second niyat should be qurba ilahi. I'm reading Quran Sharif to come closer to Allah. That's why I'm reading Quran of Allah. The third niyat should be muhabbata ilahi. To attain the muhabbat of Allah. This is his kalam. Imagine if somebody reads your book, how happy you feel.
Hey, my book, you know, I saw him reading it. I remember Mufti Saeed Palanpuri Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Sheikh Wali Hadith Darul Uloom Deoband, he came to our madrasa. He made the dars of Bukhari Sharif. After the dars, I had his sharah with me of Bukhari. I told him, Hazrat, I use your dars, your kitab, for teaching Bukhari. I could just picture the smile on his face. Because we're using ishara to teach Bukhari. He was smiling from ear to ear. Mufti Saeed Sahib, because somebody is benefiting from his kitab. Can you imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sends the malaika to listen to the reading, reciting the Quran. Sahaba ikram, they should read the, listen to the Quran. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَىٰ أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمِ. You'll see the tears are flowing. Tears are flowing, Sahaba ikram. You know, we have some recitals in our madrasa. Allah Ta'ala, and accept all of them. They read such beautiful Quran, you just listen and cry. Just by listening. Halakha, a lot of this people, they don't even understand one word of the Quran. Imagine when we go for Haram, we go to Ramzan Sharif, we go and read behind those A'immah. They read beautiful Quran. Now you're thinking, you know, I'm sitting in the Haram. You're reading such beauty. You don't understand one word. But you're enjoying it. Imagine if you understood the words. What is the level of enjoyment after that? Wallah, I will tell you, if a person presents the whole dunya wa ma fiha, the whole dunya with the Kohinoor diamond and the Khalidun diamond, you tell him, keep it. I don't need it. I have the kalam. Once it goes into your blood, into your bloodstream, understand it with its meaning. Become an alim, understand it with its meaning, then you'll enjoy the true worth of it. Allahu Akbar. And the fourth niyat we should make when we're reciting, that ya Allah, we want to make amal. So we're not just reading, we want to make amal. Mawlana Sajjad Rahmani Sahib, he made a plea. He said, this Ramzan that is going now is not a normal Ramzan. Every Muslim is going this Ramzan with a paining heart. When we're seeing our children being slaughtered, and we're seeing people being starved to death, and we're seeing the skeletal bodies of people deprived of food and water. We are now, I know Botswana is very hot. I tasted the 42 degrees of today. Ramzan is going to be a challenge. But imagine the farhat you get at the time of breaking your fast. Ya Allah. Normally for Rosa, and said for Rosa you will get sawab, and said 10 times, for every good deed, 10 times multiplied. But when it comes to Rosa, Allah says that there's no, I'm not going to tell you. I will give the reward. Allah Ta'ala never even tell what's the reward. And the recitation of Quran also, all our ibadat, it starts here and it finishes here. You read namaz, it finishes here. Sana duripa, you keep hajj, make hajj, it finishes here. You keep sowing, it finishes here. But when it comes to Quran al-Kareem, اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا. It will start here and finish in Jannah. Quran is ajeeb. That's wahid. All other ibadat will start here, finish here. But Quran starts here, finish in Jannah. Inshallah. Allah has given us this deen. What a beautiful deen if we only understand it. Then the Quran recite maximum. So his plea was, see, we can't help the Gazans more now. There's nothing left besides dua in Ramadan, as well as increasing the tilawat of the Quran. If you're reading one para, read more now. Read two paras, or three paras, read five paras. You must realize that this is the time that the ummah in totality has to make inaba to Allah. Then Allah's rahmat will come down. That is when Allah's rahmat will come down. When we all together put our shoulders and say, Allah, aaj se hum wada karte hain, that we will never make one guna in kabira for the rest of our life. Wada karu Allah se. I won't make any guna in kabira for the rest of the life. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Masoola Rahmatullah Ali, he said, Maine apni puri zindagi mein ek guna in kabira nahi kiya. In my whole life, I never do one kabira guna. It's possible, my dear. Yes, small gunas, we all gonna make it. We are not farishtas. But when we do our ibadat, everything will get washed away. But guna in kabira, jaan bujh kar na kare. Don't miss one salah also. Make a pledge to Allah. Aaj se meri ek namaz nahi chukegi. Ek bhi namaz meri nahi chukegi. Whether I'm under any condition, ya Allah, I'm going to read my namaz, no matter what happens. Hum kar sakte hain, koi mushkil nahi. And when it comes into you, when you don't read your namaz, you won't sleep. Iske aaj maine isha ki namaz nahi padhi. In the hadith it comes, if you don't read isha namaz, you won't get a peaceful sleep. Sleep won't come to you nicely. Imagine if you read your isha namaz and then you slept, and you made zikr and you made istighfar and then you sleep, you don't care. Allah is going to take me to sleep till I'm ready to come. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّلْ وَدَعَيْهِ اسْمَ قُرْآنِ حِينَ مَوْتِيَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. So Allah has given us this opportunity. Don't make this Ramadan like all the other Ramadan. This is different, my dear respected brothers. This is a time that we have to make special tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Now we turning a new leaf. Yes, the small guna, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَرِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Small guna we're going to make. When we read our, come to the masjid, when we make wudu, all that guna, get finished, all going to get washed. So we have to become pak and saf. That tomorrow if Allah Ta'ala, our leaf drops, that this is your final year, then at least we have made some preparation to meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's very, very important, my dear respected brothers. All the knowledge is inside the Quran, but we don't have the capacity to understand it. All the knowledge inside the Quran, we don't have the capacity. جَمِيعُ الْعِلْمِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ لَكِنْ تَقَاصُرُ عَنْهُ الْأَفْهَامُ. I'll just give you one waqia, one incident. There was one Romanian neurologist. He done tahqeeq for 40 years, that he said that when the brain, when a person is speaking lie, in which portion of the brain that he uses when he's speaking a lie. So he called up all the neurologists of the whole world and he said, had a big meeting, and there was one Pakistani neurologist there also. So he told them that, you know what, from my tahqeeq of 40 years, when a person speaks lies, he used the front portion of his head to speak a lie. The front portion. So the Pakistani neurologist said, what it took you 40 years to make tahqeeq of Quran, it said it 1400 years ago. Nasiyatin kadhibatin khatiyah.
Allah.
1400 years, the Quran has said, Nasiyah is the front portion of the head. And Allah says, Nasiyatin kadhiba, the one that's speaking lies. So when you're speaking lies, this is the Nasiyah. That's the portion of the brain is used when a person is speaking lies. Foreign Muslim Islam for later. He's accepted Islam. So all the ulum is inside the Quran. وَلَكِنْ تَقَاصُرُ عَنْهُ الْأَفْهَامُ. So that we haven't understood Allah. The Quran Kareem, the beauty of the Quran Kareem, what it is all about. My dear respected brothers, Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity in this dunya to make the best that we can. We will fall, we will fall, we must get up. We will fall, we must get up. But don't let shaitan become ghalib over us. Don't let our nafs become ghalib over us. We have to fight this on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis. In Ramadan Sharif, Allah Ta'ala closes all the doors of Jahannam. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala opens all the doors of Jannah. And there's a munadi that calls out, Ya baghi al-khair aqbil. O person of good deeds, advance. Allah closes everything. He says, Ya baghi al-khair aqbil, wa ya baghi al-shar aqsif. Now he said, don't commit guna now. That's when a person who does shar out of Ramadan, don't do shar now. Respect Islam. And you know, something I must mention. Actually, my wife sent me this clip. She's also worried. She said, Musa, what are you going to talk in the bayan? You're going to talk nonsense. So she sent me this one alim, young alim. I said, no, young alim. One of Ismail Bayat, he's head of our. He's in charge of all the makatib of our area. So he's been going around telling, you know, in the olden days when we had TV in the house, then out of the respect of Ramadan, the parents would cover the TV, old Ramadan, cover the old TV. Nobody should watch TV in the house. Ramadan got kram. Ikram in Ramadan. He says, now the TV came into the pocket. Now the TV is inside the pocket. What are we going to do in Ramadan? Are we going to open the TV of the pocket? Or are we going to keep the TV of the pocket closed?
Allah.
Close it up, my dear respected brothers. Close it up for Allah's sake. Up your head, hey Allah, we're turning to you. Allah, you. We walk slightly to Allah, Allah will come running to us. Comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, it is very, very important. And finally, my last nasiha. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi, in conclusion of his kitab, he says, فَانْزُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. The last hadith he brought. Last hadith, Imam Tirmidhi. You must ponder where you're taking your deen from. Ponder, where are you taking your deen from? That means you want Quran and Hadith, you want this dawlat, for which Anbiya have been sent down, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you want that dawlat. Now you can't just go anywhere and take it from anywhere. Because there's so much infiltration from outside and inside. For example, you get Salafis. They are liberalists. They don't want to follow one madhab. So what they say, no? When you read your kalima, la ilaha illallah, what is the second juz? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Abu Hanifa's name doesn't come there. Imam Shafi's name doesn't come there. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's name doesn't come there. And Imam Malik's name doesn't come there. So we don't have to follow them. Now, my dear respected brothers, do you know, right from that time, because these mujtahideen, ulama and mujtahideen studied directly from the Sahaba. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi studied directly, say from the Tabi'een. Now if he's from the Tabi'een, who's going to have a better understanding of Quran and Hadith extraction of Masail? Imam Abu Hanifa in the Quran, there's only 500 ayats in the Quran to do with the juziyat and the furu'at of our Sharia. Only 500 ayats. The whole Quran is not to do with laws. In the Quran, there's stories also. There's about Ba'ath Ba'd al-Maut also. There's about Qiyamah. There's about Qurba Qiyamah. All that is in the Quran. There's only 500 ayats to do with furu'at. From those 500 ayats, Imam Abu Hanifa extracted approximately 2.2 million masail. 2.2 million masail. Now, do you think me, I can just pick up a hadith kitab and I can understand what Imam Abu Hanifa understood? What Imam Shafi understood? I'm on that level of understanding. Somebody in the 2020, in the 21st century, understand that where there is full of shar and evil and everything, do I have the capacity just opening Google, opening one riwayat of Sahih Bukhari, and say I found one riwayat of Sahih Bukhari, I will follow that. You can't do that. That's a science of its own. The rudiments of that science, you must get it from the proper scientists. Not from me and you, we can't do that. So in the same way, if we can't, you can't just pick up a hadith kitab and say, I will follow. You must look at it how the fuqaha in which the yid extracted the masail. And follow the masail that came in the iftah kitab, in the fiqh kitab. This is the call of Imam Muhammad. This is the call of Imam Rafi'i. This is what Imam Nawawi has said in the Shafi madhab, in the Hanafi madhab, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Imam Abu Hanifa. These are the great ulama and fuqaha. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You can't just go and open hadith kitab and just download a translation, Google Translate, and think that now I'm a muhaddith. Then you took all rubbish extractions from there and then you want to argue with the ulama. You can't do that. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Allah save us from that. Allah save us. These are the proper four imams. If we follow any one of them, inshallah, we'll go into Jannah. Because they don't never only extract masail, they formulate usul also. Not a matter of just extracting a masla. They have also formulated usul. And in the light of that usul they formulated, that's how they extracted the masail. In these darulums we teach all that. How the different imams, looking at the same ayat, how they reach different conclusions. What was the cause of them reaching different conclusions? We explain all that to our students. They have a better understanding of the Sharia. Still too, even after that too, the great muhaddith like Imam Tirmidhi Rahihi Rahmah, he was also following Imam Shafi Rahmatullah. Imagine, great muhaddithin were following the four imams. Why will the people in the 21st century? No, I'll tell you why. They will take what is choosing, pleasing to the nafs. In one mazhab, if they like one thing, they'll go for that. If they like another thing, they like crabs to eat, they say, no, I'm a Shafi to eat. You see, they say, I like crabs to eat, so today I'm a Shafi. The next day, say, no, I'm a Maliki, I'll get married, I don't need witnesses. So one day you're a Maliki, next day you're a Shafi. Who you are following? You're following your nafs. You're not following anyone. You're not following Quran and Hadith. You are following your nafs. May Allah save us from that. Now, our children, if we send them to a Salafi alim to teach them Quran, what do you think is going to happen? What's going to happen? That person will put in his brain Salafism, liberalism from a young age. Later on you'll see the results of that. That's why you can't send your child to anybody to teach. You must look at what is his background, what is his aqidah, is he a muqallid or is he a Salafi? You must see all that. Then you get feminism, not a problem. women are fighting to come inside the masjid with the men and rub shoulders. They're not thinking that it was stopped in the time of Rasulullah. After his demise, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, other sahaba stopped the women from coming because of fitna. No, they're fighting with the ulama, ladies, feminists. Allah has given them half of a man, they're not happy. Allah said, Ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa, they are not happy. Allah said, Wal-rijali alayhinna daraja, they are not happy. So Allah has made the man above the woman. They can't take it.
Allah.
Now they're questioning Allah. Now tell me what iman is going to get left. Then we get the modernist people. They say that, you know, we are living in challenging times now. We must rub shoulders with the Christians and the Jews. And so what they're doing is, they are bringing iman under the banner. They're sitting on the same platform with the Christians. And sitting on the same platform with the Jews and the Mushriks and everything. And reach the level where they are praying together. Kufr is taking place. Alim is sitting there. He's watching it. Iman is zamir. He's not even being talked to. Watching in front of him. Kufr and shirk. I tell them, it's worse, that is worse than a person who is sitting in this interfaith prayer gatherings. It's worse than somebody stabbing his heart with a dagger. We are muwahideen. We believe, we only pray to one Allah. So one Allah, our Rasul broke the idols. Ibrahim alayhi salam broke the idols. How we can sit on one platform? We can't sit on one platform. These are all the challenges. That's why, فَانْزُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. You must ponder today, who you taking your deen from? Not from those people who are making halal haram and haram halal. Allah save all of us. And conclude. مَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ. Whoever has learned the Qur'an, فَاسْتَظْهَرَهُ. He has learned it, memorized it. فَأَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرَّمَ حَرَامَهُ أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ جَنَّةً. Allah Ta'ala has said, well, if Allah says the Quran is halal, say it's halal. If you make mistake, don't justify it. Say Allah made mistake. But don't make haram halal. If you're watching TV, say Allah make me maaf, tawbah, tawbah, tawbah. Ya halal nahi hai, main kar raha gunah kar raha hu. Ye mat kaho ke main theek kar raha hu. Jahannam mein jaoge. فَأَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرَّمَ حَرَامَهُ أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will put him. And then Allah will accept his intercession also. وَشَفَّعَهُ. Allah will accept and accept his intercession for 10 people of his family. وَجَبَتْ لَهُمُ النَّارِ. That they were going to Jahannam, 10 people. Allah will say, رَبَّرْكُ رَبَّرْكُ الْحَافِظِ. Take them out. Take them into Jannah. That is the fadilat of one hafiz of Quran. Hafiz must also make amal. And lastly, you know, we are hafiz of Quran, we must also become lovers of Quran. In Rustenburg, there's one person there. When we went there, we heard that he makes one khatam every day. One hafiz. So I said, I can't leave this place until I meet this man who makes one khatam every day. Who ek din mein ek khatam karte. So one hafiz, I heard that in the 1960s, he'd done his hifz in Madina Munawwara. He sits in one corner in the masjid and he's got his whole program for the day. He makes one khatam every day. So after Isha Namaz, we waited, we never left. We waited after Isha, when he was finished, he was walked out of the masjid. We went and we made salam to him. I told him, sir, I came to request your dua. He said, but you're the alim. I'm not an alim. I told him, but I don't read one Quran every day. You read one Quran every day. And he hugged us and we hugged him. So you get people like that today. That they're lovers of Quran. A person will only make khatam one Quran a day if he's in love with Quran. So Allah not only make us hafiz of Quran, Allah also make us lovers of Quran. May Allah let this darul prosper. Take it from strength to strength. These ulama who are giving their time, putting effort, they are doing other khidmat also. But they understand the importance of this. Allah has accepted them. These ulama that are making khidmat in the darul ulum. May Allah bless them.
Ameen.
Every harf that they are teaching, every ayat that they are teaching, every surah, every mas'ala, every hadith, let Allah give them ajr jazeel and jameel fi dunya wal akhirah. And all the people that are contributing to this land, wallahi, you will get such ajr in akhirah beyond your imagination. My ustad used to say, you'll never see the value of one mas'ala in this dunya. You won't be able to see it. You'll only see it in the qabr. You'll only see it in the akhirah once our eyes close. May Allah accept this Mubarak gathering for all of you who have come here that shows your love of the Quran. And may Allah make this Ramadan different for all of us. That when we come out of this Ramadan, may we be pure. May Allah open the way for the Palestinians, give them fatah, the barakat of Ramadan.
Ameen.
And Allah Ta'ala give conquest and Ameen. Remove the Baytul Maqdis from the Yahud Ghasibin. And may Allah make them shikast with zill.
Ameen.
Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakallah.